003, Shara Bitochen, Sunday night. Paragimel, the 11th shir in Paragimel. So in the sefer that we're learning, we're gonna move on to Hakdama HaRevius on page Kuflamet Hay. We're talking about really the development of Bitochon. That's really what he's teaching in this third parak. And what a person has to clarify in his or her own mind before they could develop Bitochon, in order to develop Bitochon. So again, the first thing was to realize that Hashem has all the seven qualities that make it appropriate to have Bitochon in Hashem. The second Hakdama was to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows your innermost thoughts, so you can't have false Bitochon, you have to have real Bitochon. You can't just pay lip service. The third Hakdama was a difficult one. We really didn't, we could spend many, many, many weeks on it. It has to do with not being boteach in Hashem and another power. But to realize, let's say you go to a doctor, so you're not supposed to have bitochon in Hashem and also the doctor. But to mamish, to really realize that the doctor is subservient to Hashem, is Hashem's conduit. And anything is like that. You check from your boss, whether it's your health, anything that we have money in the bank. So you say, okay, Hashem, you're writing out a check. You have money in the bank. So you say, okay, Hashem gives me the money, and, you know, I have it, it's in the bank. So it's not like that. It's not like that. To realize that. And that was the punishment of Asa, where it says he went to the doctors. So we talked about this at length, how you really have to work on internalizing and really feeling and knowing that the doctor is just a shliach, he's just whatever Hashem. You know, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have bitochon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and another object. To the degree, Chavitolova says, whenever you're bitochon in two people, so we realize ourselves that our bitochon in one is lacking because there's part of us saying, well, you know, if he doesn't come through, so I don't really have to rely on him because I have another option. So with Hashem, so with two people, so it's a question of degree, less or more. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have true bitachon, it's not a question of degree, it's a question of true. True bitachon is to realize that you're relying only on Hashem, no matter what the reality, quote unquote, seems to be. But true reliance is only Hashem, because he controls everything. Okay, we're moving on now to the fourth concept on page Kuf Lamed Hey, and that is Sheyashgiach. He has to see to it, the Yishtadel, Ma'od Ma'od, to try very hard, Lamod Bameh Shechivo Hashem Yisale Yishadir V'Yisroma Me'avodosu V'Kiyah Mitzvosov, to try very hard to be good, to do the mitzvahs that Hashem says, Ulihishomer mima shehaziro, and to refrain from doing averus. Now, Chavis of Ovis will develop this idea, and he will make it fit. If you remember, the Chavis of Ovis was very insistent to the degree that he put it into the definition of bitachon, that Hashem will give us chesed and do good things for us even if we don't deserve it. And he put that into the first parak when he defined bitachon, and he put it into his seven things that allow you to have bitachon in someone, and that is that the person or the object of your bitachon it's appropriate to have bitachon in the object, whatever your object of bitachon is, you have to be able to feel that the person will come through, the person or the thing, the object will come through even if undeserved. If you feel you have to deserve it, you're not going to be able to, it's like a lot, emotionally, And psychologically, Chavisol Vova says, you're not going to be able to rely on anything if you feel you have to deserve it. So we talked about that, that people have this always feeling that they're not living up to what they're supposed to, and mamela they don't deserve it. And Chavisol Vova recognizes that. And that's like, you know, the only way you can have bitachon in Hashem is if you feel he's going to do good things to you even if you don't deserve it. So how does that fit with what he's saying now? So we'll see. We'll see. He's going to talk about it, or at least allude to it, and he's going to give a very clear answer. But let's learn his point. His point is, if you want to rely on someone, let's say you're going to someone for a loan, right? And you're relying on that person to give you a loan. So you come to his house, and you walk through his garden, you trample his tomatoes. Then you knock on the door. He says, can I have a loan, you know? He says, like, what do you take me for? Like, you just, that's how you treat me. What do you want from me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same way. If you blatantly or willingly, bemazed, without caring, violate Hashem's instructions to you, you can't turn around and expect and rely on Him to do for you things. It's not logical. So you have to realize that you have to try your utmost to do what Hashem requires of you, and to refrain from doing averus. Kafi Shehu wrote, said, just as you want. There's reciprocity. You can't slap Hashem in the face, so to speak, and then turn around and say, I'm relying on you for this, 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 and that, and then you just ignore what he wants from you. K'mosha omru kadmonenu aleim ha-shalom. And this is pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Asei ritzono kiritzoncha. Make his will your will. K'dei sheyaseh ritzoncha kiritzono. So once Hashem sees you're making your will, he will make his will your will. Batel ritzoncha m'nei ritzono. That has to do with averus. Abolish your desire, if that's his will, if you want something that's usur. So if you put his will foremost, he'll put your will foremost. For Omer HaKosov, another posuk, B'tach b'Hashem v'asei tov, Shchon Eretz u'rei emuna. If you have a right to be b'tach b'Hashem if you're oseh tov. The Omar Tov Hashem Lekovov Lenefesh Tidrushenu. Hashem is good for all those who seek Him out. Avol Misha Botach Al Hashem. You want to rely on Hashem for who Moreid Bo, and you're rebelling against Hashem. You're going against His will. Bishot Nefesh, it's called. You're rebelling. Kama Sochel Hu. Foolish. Vekama Chaseru Daita Vakaroso. Beroso, think. Shemisha Botach Alechad Mibneyod Bibidovim Mesuyim. Like I said, you're going to your rich uncle for a loan. And he says, okay, do me a favor, just, can you pierce me the soda? And he's, and you say, no, I don't feel like it. Right, you know. Imchiye Vosel, Hashem is not the uncle, and Hashem doesn't need the soda. The idea is that if you want to rely on anything, on Hashem, the system that Hashem sets up is that it has to make sense. You can't hold yourself as the center of the universe and ignore Hashem's will, but then when you need something, turn around and say, well, I'm relying on you to give it to me. You can't rely on Hashem to give you something if you violate His will. In Chiev also, if that person is Mechayev Yulasus Tzorech Mitzrochav, to give him something, oh, his hero lays a dover v'himra mashakovalo. He warns you against doing something and you violate it. V'yagia hadover l'misha b'teach olav. And then you say, okay, can I have that loan now? Tia haforas pukudoso hasiba hachazoka li'imiloi mashabotach olav bo. Certainly your violation, your ignoring of his will, of that person's will, whether it's passive or active, is going to be the reason why he's going to say, well, we don't have a relationship. That's the That's the point. It's not that Hashem is getting you back and taking the kama. It's if we don't have a relationship, so we don't have a relationship. Like I always say, if someone doesn't invite you to the chasana, right? So you say, I'm not going to invite them to mine. So I say, that's the kama. Right? So what's the excuse always? And sometimes it's true. It's not an excuse. Sometimes it happens to be true. You say, no, Shadows, if he didn't invite me to his chasana, I see that we don't really have a relationship. So I'll feel pretty foolish inviting him to my chasana. So if that's truly felt and meant, so it's taken not nakama. I'll pass you now. But a lot of times we kid ourselves. We're really taking the kama, and this is like the cover-up. But this is the idea of the Chayus HaLovus. It's not a Hashem's like, I'm going to get you back. You know, it's if you don't have a relationship with Hashem, you can't rely on Him. You it's not a one-sided thing. If you have a relationship where you in Yiddish you say you fife him on, you just blatantly ignore him. You can't turn around and say, but I'm relying on you to provide me with X, Y, and Z. There's no relationship there. Kal v'chomer mishover al azoros Hashem u'mitzvosu v'sher hiftiach v'yid aleihem sheyachziv. You'll be disappointed. Then you turn around and you have bitachon. Beinu zakoy l'shem b'teach al Hashem. You don't deserve the title of a boteach. You're a faker. You can't rely on Hashem and then just flout His will. Elohu k'maymer akosuv. What applies is the pasuk. Ki matikvas chonev ki yivtzo. What good is the hope of the chonev, the person who mocks Hashem? Ki yeshel elo kanav shahatzako. So yishmakel. Then you're going to turn around and call out to Hashem. The Omar, Agonov, Rotzeach, Venov, Vishov, Lesheker, all these aveiros you're going to do. The Holach Achrei Elohim Acher, Meshavu Yudatim. And then you're going to come to the base of Mikdush, Uvosom, Matam, Lufonei, Bebayas, Azeh, Ashenik, Shemi, Allah, Va'amartem, Nitzalnu, Save us, Laman, Asosos, Kol, Atoy, Vizela, what am I going to save you for? I'm going to give you things in order that you go sin, that you go do Neoth, and Avod Zorah, and lie, and steal. For this I need a base hamikdash for you to come and hide in it with all your averus. So that's the end of the paragraph. Now, so I guess he alludes to a teretz to the kasha. He doesn't say it as explicitly as I thought. So the question is, but you just emphasized repeatedly that Bitachon is based on the premise that Hashem will do chesed even if it's undeserved. And the answer is, the key word in this whole paragraph is merida, rebelling against Hashem. The key idea, and this is the Chavis Halbavis' picture. And I've said this before, and here's where he says it. You know, let's take the mashal of the uncle, right? You're going to your rich uncle for a loan. And he likes you, and he wants to do chesed for you. All these things we talked about from Hashem's perspective. And you inadvertently, you're not careful. So you walk through his tomato patch, right, and you trample his tomatoes. So, you know, again, imagine, like, your uncle likes you, and he wants to give you the loan. And he sees, you know, you just weren't careful. So, be more careful next time, will you? Like, but if he puts up big signs, you know, don't walk in the garden. And he sees that you're just walking through, and then you ask him for the loan. He's going to say, listen, you know, this is not... The ikkar is not to be a moray. The ikkar is to do your best. Plain and push it. It's as simple as it sounds. It's so true, and this Chavis Halvavus I hold, it's a yesod in life, a very big yesod. Because sometimes people say, how do I know? You do your best. All Hashem wants for you is to do your best. Now, what's a little scary is that we have a tendency to fool ourselves, and it's not really our best. We're a little lazy, and we're a little dishonest with ourselves, that it's not really our best. It's true. That's the scary part. But you have to try. You have to try and do the best. What you don't have to be afraid of is that you're trying your best, or you think you're you sincerely think you're trying your best. You sincerely think you're trying your best. It could be you realize, you know, we're here to grow. And if it's Hashem, we should live 120 years and we'll always be growing. So certainly, let's say in a year from now, I would like to look back at myself now and say, you know, I could have done more. I wasn't using the utmost of my ability. So that's also okay, because life is a growth process and we get better. And Hashem knows that. That's not laziness. Right? I don't think it's a chiddush. If we sincerely think we're doing our best, then even if we're not truly doing our best, I think that's also okay. Because then we improve. If we're sincere and we try to improve, so it's not like in a year from now I'll look back and I'll say, uh-oh, Hashem's going to get me because of that. Now I realize I wasn't really doing my best. I'm capable of more. So first of all, maybe you weren't capable of more a year ago, because that's also part of the growth process. What you're not capable of doing today, you'll be capable in a year from now. And you'll look back and, you know, you'll say, oh, why couldn't I do it a year ago? But the answer is you weren't holding there a year ago. That's one point. But another point is that, you know, the human psyche is very, very deep. And you could even be objectively speaking lazy. You might be lazy objectively speaking, but if you couldn't reach there in your introspective moments, Hashem wants us to be introspective. I don't know, Hashem would like us to make a cheshbon hanefesh every night. We don't do it. I don't do it. Hashem would like us to. He'd like us to make a cheshbon every day, what we did wrong. This is what the Sfarim say you're supposed to do at night before you go to sleep. But I got angry. I was impatient. I lost my temper. I mumbled the bracha. I didn't really say the words. I didn't really daven with kavana. You know, I'm going to try better tomorrow. So as long as you don't rebel. I know this is Lashon Hara. I don't care, I gotta say it. That's bad. Or we say Hashem won't mind. You know, I darshaned about that already. I'm sorry to say, Hashem does mind. But if you try, this is the point, because the Chagat Holders is an amazing contradiction. He spends a whole paragraph here saying that you have no right to have bitachon if you violate the Dvar Hashem. And he spent all those sentences previously saying that Hashem, that the fundamental yesod principle of bitachon is that Hashem gives us chesed that we don't deserve. The answer is that the key word is merida, to which I'll add the word laziness. If we're demonstrably lazy, demonstrably rebellious, then we have no right to have bitachon in Hashem. Now, the truth is that there are those who argue with the Chavis Halvavos even in this principle. And it's based on a Gemara. The Gemara says, I think the context is Bayis Rishon, but Rishoim hoyu ela shetolu bitachonam b'kodesh baruch hu. There is a concept of a Rasha having bitachon. Strange as it sounds, you know, he believes in Hashem and he can't overcome his Yetzirah, or he thinks he can't. Rabim machovim l'Rasha baboteach b'Hashem chesed yisol v'venu. Right? Is that a pasuk? Rabim machovim l'Rasha. So some learn that it's the last part of the pasuk is talking about the Rasha also. Right. There is a concept in certain svarim. Obviously, the Chavis HaVavis does not hold like that. But there is a concept in some svarim in bitachon, and that even a Rasha can have bitachon, and Hashem will reply in kind. It might have to do with, remember the story I said in the beginning of Shaar HaBitachon, where when you rely on someone, that sort of puts them on the spot to respond in kind. Right? I said, Lagid ki yashar Hashem tsuri v'lo avlasa bo. If you're truly relying on Hashem, it would be an avla of him to just leave you in the lurch. Chavis for sure doesn't hold like that. There is such a concept. But even the Chavis HaLbavis, again, he's talking about a Rasha, a Moreid. Well, Ali had someone that's lazy, because I'm convinced the Chavis HaLbavis would also say it about someone that's lazy. Someone that willfully negates the Ratzon Hashem can't turn around and say, but I want the Ratzon Hashem to be to fulfill my Ratzon. It's not logical, it doesn't make sense. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. But we must maintain the confidence that if we're doing our best, even if we know we do have Averus, you see, we do Averus every day, right? And then the next day we try to do better. As long as you're part of the system, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about laziness. Maybe the Chavis HaLbavis is only rebellious. People have no right. Maybe a lazy person also has a right, as long as he's trying. Okay, it's no kasha. It depends if he's trying or not. If a person's lazy but he's trying, you have to try. People call me up, they say, people are trying, it's very hard for me. You have to start small and then try harder and try more. So that's this point here. So this point is that the Rasha who's moreid can't expect. I mean, what is he saying? The truth is, all he's talking about in this paragraph is really Hashem fulfilling what you have bitachon about. I mean, the Rasha could have bitachon. He just can't expect his bitachon to be required, to be fulfilled. The truth is, Chavis HaLbavis never really talked about this so explicitly, that you will gain what you have bitachon about. We said it in the beginning with the story of Tzuri V'lo Avlasa Bo, and it's clear in tens of psukim that if you have true bitachon, proper bitachon, Hashem will respond in kind. That's a reason for Hashem to perform, so to speak. But really, the Chavis HaLbavis here in this paragraph says it openly, because he's not saying the Rasha can't have bitachon. Because why can't the Rasha have bitachon? He has bitachon. What the Chavis HaLbavis is saying is that he can't expect Hashem to respond to his bitachon the way Hashem would like to, the way Hashem usually responds to bitachon. Because he can't do that. It's not a one-way street. Okay, so that's this fourth principle. The Hakdama Achamishis, is really what this is where the Chavis HaLbavis at length delves into the union of what we call Hishtadlus. I don't like the word Hishtadlus so much, because Hishtadlus always implies, the word implies sort of that. It's like, Hashem's carrying the chair, so I'm going to make a shtadlus, and I'm going to help him carry the chair. That's not Hishtanlus. That violates the third Hagdoma, that it's you and Hashem, your buddies, you and Hashem are doing this. Hishtadlus mamish means, according to the Chavis Halbonis at least, that you have to go through the motions. You have to go through the motions, you have to set up a system in which there's no nisim happening. You have to work hard and be industrious and do everything that's normally done, because it's through that, because that's how Hashem constructed the world. Hashem didn't construct a world of nisim, you know. If he would have, there wouldn't be nisim. Hashem didn't construct a world of... Hashem constructed a world of following a certain system and pattern. And the hishtadlus means you have to fall into that pattern. You can't expect, you can't sit home and do nothing and say Hashem will send me parnasa. Not according to the Chavis Halbonis. I have stories about people that did that. I don't know if you've heard stories. No, you never heard stories about people that sat home and said Hashem will give me parnasa? No, I won't tell the story. You always hear such a story.
I've heard, but I've got to
I don't know if the story is true. First of all, I don't know if the story is true.
They've got to do something else useful, that learning tool.
The point of the story is that the person, if you ever hear such a story, and you will, the point of that story is that the person, lefitumo, in his naivete and innocence, didn't realize it. He didn't know. So he just, you know, he had faith in Hashem, and he trusted Hashem, and he relied on Hashem the way a baby relies on its mother. You know, the baby doesn't go out to work. So... he just said, you know, he didn't know how the system works. In his amaratzus, that's probably what the story means to bring out. Because it's all a mirage. And that's the hardest thing in the world, is to get up every day, and go to work, and work hard, and get the fruits of your labors, and then say, this was all a mirage. Did this really, I mean, this all happened? Hashem wants me to do this, and Hashem provided me with the money, and this is how Hashem did it. That's why the farmer is called Emuna. Emuna Itecha, Emuna Zuzron. That's why the farmer has Emuna. The farmer works like unimaginable, all the kaychas the farmer has to put in. And then he gets the wheat, and then he gets the bread, and then he says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem en oretz. He goes, wait, what are you, hamotzi lechem en oretz? I just broke my back for 6 months. Right? And he has to really feel, Baruch atah Hashem, hamotzi lechem en oretz. That's hard. That's very, very hard. So that's what the Chavis Halbavos now will introduce. This is where the Chavis Halbavos... Everybody wants to know what's bitochon, what's ishtadlus, how much do you have to do, how much do you don't have to do. This is it. In the Hagdoma HaChamishis. She is borer etzlo, that a person has to have clarified to himself or herself. Could be you have to come to the shir to get it clarified. That could be. That's your ishtadlus. Ki bitzua hadvarim hameschachim ba'olam hazeh. Acher habriya hem b'shnei dvarim. Two things make things occur. There's two parts to everything that happens, everything that's accomplished, everything. It takes two sides to the equation. Echad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yichaylos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yichaylos HaBori Yisal HaRetzonu Litziyosam and HaHeder L'tchum HaVoya. Hashem creates it, Hashem makes it happen, Hashem takes it out of the realm of nothingness and makes it exist. That's Hashem's side of the equation. The Hasheni, and remember, this is the same kind of Halavos that one page ago said that Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom, to believe, to have bitachon in Hashem and something else. So he doesn't mean there are two equal partners here. I mean, they are equal in the sense that two things have to happen. Hashem has to will it, and sibos ve'emtsoyim. Hashem wants it to go through a system. Hashem wants you to provide a context in which this happens. Even though it's really just a show. Because it's not the sibos that are making it happen. It's Hashem's will. So, you know, sometimes we wonder, and the Chavis Lovitz will ask it. In a few lines, in the next paragraph, he's going to ask Hashem, so why don't you just cut out the middleman? If you want me to have bread on my table, why do you make the farmer, why did you create a world in which the farmer has to plow and plant and do everything, and then take the wheat and grind it? And then finally there's a loaf of bread on my table, right? And we can add a couple of steps, right? Because someone, the trucker, has to take it to the supermarket and we have to go buy it, and then it's on my table. If you're serious that this is just Hashem's will that I should have a piece of bread this morning, so why not just cut out the middleman? Boom, let there be bread on my table every morning, like there was in the Midbar with the man. They woke up, there was bread there. Why do you need this whole... So he'll ask that in the next paragraph. Why? Why did Hashem do that? But here, he's just simply saying that Hashem did do that. Hashem created a world in which his will creates from nothingness. Okay, namish from nothingness. If the sheishes may bracious, only a sheishes may bracious did he create from nothingness. But in context, Hashem creates and makes it exist. And without Hashem's will, it wouldn't have an existence. Hasheni sibels ve'emtzoyim. There has to be some sort of natural context in which it happened. Hashem does not want a world. Hashem did not create a world in which let there be bread, let there be health, let there be. Hashem doesn't do that. You have to take care of yourself. You have to go do everything. Everything that's normal you have to do. So shailas come up, I told you. People ask me shailas. Should I take a quarter page yid? Or an eighth of a page yid? Or a half a page yid? Or a full page yid? To a person that's working on bitachon, these are major issues, and they come up every single day. Every single day they come up. But maybe we'll have... I don't want to go off on that tangent now. Let's learn the Chavis Haldolus, and maybe we'll learn the words of the Chavis Haldolus, or at least of Rav Kapach. We don't know Arabic, so we can't learn the words of the Chavis Haldolus. We'll learn the words of the Chavis Haldolus, and maybe we'll get more of a feel for exactly what the right thing to do is. So Hasheni, the second partner, is Sibos Va'emtsoim. The things that seem to bring it about, mehem krovim and mehem rechokim, mehem gluyim and mehem nistarim. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's hidden. V'kulam polim, and they work with bitzua to bring out masher gozer havayoso, what Hashem wants to be. Hashem wants the bread here, so there's, like we learned before, there's a whole link. There's links in a chain that brought that about, that bread should be here. There's galuso be'ezra Hashem lohem alkach. The dugma losibus akrovos. Immediate. Hotzoas mayim imamake ha'adome b'mechono. You draw water from a well. So you say, the water's not going to jump up on you, at you. Right? You have to put down the pail, and draw the water, and lift up the pail. Then you'll have water. Shamayim oilim behem be'etz hashiva min ha-be'er. Avol sibosa ho-recholka. But there's really chains and chains, right? How he's talking about you needed to put the pail, the chain, the animal was pulling the chain. Like the people weren't strong enough, I guess. They didn't have those kind of pulley system where you could just turn the thing with an animal. So you have to hook up the animal. So you have to do that also. You have to hook up the animal to the thing drawing water out of the well. So So you need that. You have to do it. The water's not going to jump up. So you can either have the immediate seabos, and then you have to hook up the animal. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes there's a whole process that has to be gone through. We don't live in a world where Hashem snaps his fingers and it's there. Even though it's anyway all controlled by Hashem, and he wills every step of the way, but this is what he wanted. Why he wanted it will be dealt with in the next paragraph, but he wanted a world in which there are causes, seeming causes. The world is set up that there are there's cause and effect, with a seeming cause and effect, with Hashem empowering it all. Aval hasibos asher bein ha'odom v'hakelim heim emtsoyim bein shnei hadvarim. Behem ha'behemu v'hagalgalim, the animal and the wheels, the pulleys, ha'maniyim zeh zeh v'hachevel. And if you don't use a good rope, it's not going to happen. The rope's going to break. And tera takola bachas hasibos shehus karnu lo tivut sahamatora drusha behen. It's not going to happen. So if you don't go to work, if you don't do what you have to do, it's not going to happen. Hashem, there must be a natural context in which the will of Hashem materializes. Hashem created that as part of his world too. That things follow a natural order. V'kach shor ha'pulos ha'nasos b'tchum ha'avoya, lo yitochnu lo'odem v'zulosu kim b'gzera me'Hashem yisale, ha'ma'afshir sasibos Hashem b'hem b'tzuan. Certainly, all of those intermediate steps that bring about the final result are also all Hashem's will. As we said, you know, you go, you take a step, you walk, your mind sending messages to the brain, everything that's going on. But you have to do. Hashem wants you to do what's considered normative, what's considered normal. He wants a world of sibos. He wants a world of emtsoim, middlemen, things that bring about the result, or that seemingly bring about the result, right? In the natural way that he set up the world. Okay, we'll stop here in the middle.